This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we're going to check the pulse of the automotive sector ahead of Budget 2023. But in the meantime, here is another checkered mark on the Selangor State Government's environmental record. Reports by Malaysia Kini and the watchdog Rimba Disclosure Project reveal that more than 800 hectares of forest land in Bukit Lagong will be cut down to make way for quarries. Bukit Lagong Forest Reserve is one of the last few surviving green enclaves left in the Klang Valley, and parts of it were degazetted in 2018.
So images in the Malaysia Kini report show that much of the western part of Bukit Langgong has already been cut down, while the Kampung Orang Asli Hulu Kuang is located in a vulnerable area nearby. Now, further investigations by Malaysia Kini revealed that three developers involved are linked to the Selangor State Government. Two of them are GLCs fully owned by the state government, and the third is owned by Koperasi Jabatan Perhutan Negeri Selangor Berhad. Further investigations by the watchdog Rimba Disclosure Project found that Bukit Langgong Forest Reserve lands are being sold for RM150,000 per acre online. In total, 40,000 hectares of foreign reserve are being sold on the website for quarry purposes.
Now, this isn't the first time the Selangor State Government has come under fire for its forestry management policies. What does this signal about the government's commitment to green conservation at a time when the consequences of climate change are being increasingly felt? For more on this story and reactions, we are speaking to Dr. Lim Tek Win, Adjunct Professor of Ecology at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Tek Win, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, reports are showing that a substantial chunk of Bukit Lagong is being carved out for quarries. Can you walk us through what the process actually is for quarries to be authorized and set up, given their environmental impact? And how concerning is this development for Bukit Lagong?
Hi, good morning, Shazana. So there are several things to bear in mind. One is that it seems that these quarries are going to remain inside Forest Reserve. So the status of the land is going to be continue to be Forest Reserve, even though when the quarries are developed, all of the trees are cut down. So that is concerning for several reasons. Of course, the forest can grow back in the long term, but it's going to be quite different. Secondary forest doesn't have the same level of diversity as the primary forest. And in Bukit Lagong, there are certain species of plants and animals that are really not found anywhere else. So they could go extinct. So those are the kind of like ultimate problems with this kind of deforestation, let alone the procedural issues which you mentioned, which raise a lot of questions.
So, Tek Win, can we be clear about this, that this is happening because the forest has been degazetted? Can you give us a sense of how the degazettement works? And do we know if the state government was fully transparent with that?
Yeah, so this is the thing. They have not announced any degazettement for the quarries. And so I'm assuming that they do not plan to degazette them. They plan to keep the status as forest reserve and just give a lease. And so certain areas actually have already been leased inside Bukit Lagong Forest Reserve for more than 30 years. But what is concerning about the recent discoveries by Malaysia Kini and Rimba Disclosure Project is that there have been new leases granted. And that is perplexing and disturbing because in Selangor, they announced that there would be a moratorium on logging. Mm. And so I'm not sure how are they going to do mining if they don't do logging first. Mm. So they're going to have to clear the forest before they can open the quarry. So that needs to be answered. You know, how is this plan to lease the forest reserve for quarrying? How does that fit in with the moratorium? So far, no explanation has been given on that.
So what I'm thinking, Tek Win, you mentioned that they didn't degazette the areas where the quarries are put in. Is the lack of degazettement just a cover for development? Because I assume that if they had announced plans to degazette, that would also have caused an uproar if it's taking away forest reserves.
Yeah, that's correct. But in the past, they had quarried since the 90s, and they didn't bother to degazette either. Mm-hmm. In fact, I suppose the plan still is, after Macquarie has been, they've completed their activities, they would try and restore the forest back in some way. Mm-hmm. But it's not clear, because often what happens is, after the forest has been destroyed by quarrying, they will then use that as an excuse to degazette and say, oh, the forest already degraded, now we have to degazette it, we've got no choice. And so that is one possible path in future, which would be disturbing. Yeah.
Can you tell us the consequences of this gradual erosion of the Bukit Langgong Forest Reserve? What's the consequences to, let's say, the environment or the people that live nearby?
Yeah, well, as Shazana mentioned earlier, Bukit Langgong is one of the remaining few forests in the Klang Valley itself, these forest islands, which you've got a chain of forest islands going all the way down to Puchong Aihitam Forest Reserve. And then you've got small patches such as Bukit Gasing, Bukit Kiara, and it comes all the way up through Frim. And then right north of Frim, you have Bukit Langgong. And Bukit Langgong is the connection to the main range forests. And unfortunately, it seems that that connection is being broken by these latest activities, and also by a plan to excise part of Bukit Langgong for housing development. And so when that connection is broken, that means that in future, any plants and animals that wanted to travel from the main range to the Klang Valley, it's much harder for them to do that. And as a result, the biodiversity in the Klang Valley will be affected. And what I mean by that is that, say there's a small population of either plants or animals in a small patch like Bukit Gasing, and for whatever reason, maybe disease, it dies out. Now, if the connection had been maintained, then it would be and plants and animals could come back from adjacent areas. Mm-hmm. But when we lose the link, then these extinctions risk, the local extinctions risk being permanent. Mm-hmm. And so we permanently lose the diversity in the Klang Valley. That's the risk.
And Taekwin, you're also currently involved you've been very outspoken on the battle to save the Shah Alam Community Forest and also the Bukit Chiraka Forest Reserve. I mean, are there any parallels to be drawn between what's going on with the Shah Alam Community Forest and what's going on at Bukit Langgong?
Yes, there's a strong parallel. As you pointed out, there's a huge conflict of interest here, because the state government, in particular Menteri Besar, is linked to both excisions, in the sense that he is the chairman of the state corporations that have been granted leases and are planned to develop both areas. In Bukit Chiraka, it's PKNS, and you mentioned, I think, a similar state-linked company in Bukit Langgong. And that raises a question of how the Menteri Besar can be allowed to, on one hand, be pushing development, and on the other hand, he needs to represent all the people of Selangor, including those whose interests, such as local communities, would be negatively affected if this development goes ahead.
Okay, Taekwin, we know that some MPs aren't exactly for this project, but do you see any political will to rectify this issue? And if politicians aren't doing anything, what can we as Malaysians do?
Yeah, so I have been in touch with some politicians, and I've been pushing to change the law so that in future, any decision on forests, the fate of the forests, is taken out of the hands of the Menteri Besar, and the final say is put to the Wakil Rakyat more generally, in particular the Dewan Negeri. The Dewan Negeri as a whole should be given the opportunity to vote on these important decisions, such as whether or not to irreplaceably revoke a forest reserve or degazette a forest reserve. That final say on such important matters needs to be put to the Dewan for approval. And so I do hope that the politicians across all political parties would support such a move, because it really is the heritage of the future of the people of Malaysia that is at stake.
And very quickly, Taekwon, since we do have you on the line, with Budget 2023 coming up soon, is there anything that you'd want to see in the budget?
Yeah, certainly. So we've talked previously about ecological fiscal transfer, and in previous budgets, it was only 70 million ringgit. So I hope that budget is increased, and also the mechanism is made very clear that this is a way in which the federal government can entice the states to keep their forests.
Taekwon, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Lim Taekwon, Adjunct Professor of Ecology at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, talking about the encroachment into Bukit Lagong Forest Reserve and the reported quarries that are proposed there. We have reached out to the Selangor State Executive Councillor Hiloy Sian for comment and to get more understanding on what's happening. We'll provide updates as they come. But based on the reports that have already come out, I do think this is a very concerning development.
Yeah, the other thing I read about, which is related to this, is the fact that forests actually play an effective role in controlling flood problems, right? Because covering the soil surface from erosion and delaying the passage of rainwaters to stream and rivers. So the point is, you know, when we remove all this natural forest cover, we are then losing these natural sponges which absorb the rainwater due to deforestation. And let's just face it, Malaysia, we seem to get headline after headline after headline of flooding. So yes, we can always use build flood mitigation projects. But the point is, why can't we use nature?
Why can't we prevent things from happening? We always realize what we've lost only after the fact.
Yeah.
But we are in the position right now to ensure that we maintain forest cover, we maintain green spaces. And especially given the flood experiences of the past year, I would think that this gives us all the more imperative to take action, conservation action now.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other part of it is, of course, these forest reserves are our natural lung, right? So if you talk about carbon emissions and our government's goal towards being carbon neutral by 2050, you know, we can do so much about things like renewable energy. We can talk about electrification of vehicles. And yes, all good, no doubt about that. But isn't preserving our natural forest part of that also something we seem to neglect? So we need to look at one aspect of it. What about the other aspects of it, which are also equally important, if not more? Because once we lose our forest, can we really ever regrow them back again?
7:29 in the morning, we're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, we are going to be discussing what's happening over in Saudi Arabia. Has Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman successfully rehabilitated his international reputation? Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.